Hello, and welcome to the Parental Advisory Movie Podcast. We are your hosts, Jeff Hall and
Patrick Terry. We're two dads with a love for movies.
Join us as we discuss movies we have seen with our kids,
as well as movies we have seen without them.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
Pretty good, Jeff. How about yourself?
Not bad. We have returned. No longer on assignment. On special assignment, I have returned from said special assignment. I, in fact, have returned with stickers for you from Zach and Dustin. Well, mainly Zach. They're territory marked stickers. I had to transport across state lines.
Smuggling.
Yeah.
Sticker smuggler.
Sticker smuggler. That's me. So that sounds like either the most boring movie ever made, or the most fascinatingly hilarious movie. For note, it's the most hilarious MacGuffin. We'll say that.
Yeah.
People think it's something else, and it's
all about the stickers.
Yep.
It's like, kid stickers of all that.
What's in the envelope?
What's in the stickers for my daughter?
Yep.
They're very precious.
They are.
Will not be happy if she doesn't get these. I gotta go.
Exactly. I got to go. Goodness. But yeah, we, as some of y'all might know, we took a trip to spring break, whatever. We went to Cal, back out to Los Angeles, and went to Disneyland on Saturday and experienced that. It was pretty good. I don't remember ever going to Disneyland. This is my first time. Mm-hmm. New York's first time. Ruth and Grayson went back in October. So we had a good time. We did the Star Wars, experience. Smuggler's Run was fun and pretty cool. And basically six people per little pod, I guess, whatever you want to call it, makeshift Millennium Falcon to put in. And you're given assignments. So the first two are the pilots, second two are the gunners, and the last two are the engineers. York and Grayson were the gunners, and Ruth and I were the engineers. Basically, all we did is try to hit the buttons that were lighting up on the side, and then that activated whatever in the during the ride. So it was pretty wild. Pretty wild.
A game of summonses.
Yeah, pretty much. It reminded me a lot. Did you ever go on the Back to the Future ride at Universal Studios? Ever? I mean, it's been a hot minute since they've had it.
Yeah, that was senior trip back in the late 90s. Yeah, it's been a while, but yes.
It's okay. It's similar to that, except you have things to do.
Okay.
While you're trying to enjoy the ride. I can multitask and hit buttons, but it does kind of distract from me actually enjoying the ride, because I'm having to look to the left to try and hit the buttons that are lighting up, like a game of Simon Says. But
so it's more interactive.
But it is very, but it was fun. One thing York and I really did, it's very immersive. Like the Star Wars area is just so, you feel like you're on a film set. Like it is just so realistic. I mean, not realistic. Obviously it's realistic, but you feel like you're on the set of a Star Wars movie. That's how detailed everything is. And it is just wild. And then we also did the Rise of the Resistance. Ride of the Resistance. Yeah. And that is, that's something else. Again, you're, I think, six people per cart, I guess. And then you are just rolled, you have a droid attached to the front, and it's supposed to be an escape thing.
Because
you walk through the area, you've been captured and all that by the Resistance, and then you're put into a cell area. And then you see up at the top, you see what you think are two. It looks like it's two actors, but it's a screen. And it's just so real. Like those are real people there. And then, of course, you get broken out. And then you have to get in these pods to escape. And there's an RT unit front trying to drive. And then it just whisks you around to different areas. And you have to avoid the stormtroopers and everything.
Yeah.
But the stormtroopers, again, are not actors. They're on a screen shooting at you. And then when they shoot, the lights on the side of the room will light up to make it look like, laser. Their little lasers going by. And that sounds very loud. So it sounds like it, like, I'll admit it, I even ducked a couple of times. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah.
It's just so, it, like, you're so that into it. And Grayson didn't like it because, you know, she thought they were like, they're, it's literally lights. It's not, there's no like explosions in front of you. If so, it's like smoke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing. But then, you know, they do have like certain, like the little animatronic people. They did one, they had one of Finn in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they did Finn dirty. This animatronic looks so bad. Yeah. Like, it looks so bad. I'm like, I went over to York. I go, man, how did you, I said, man, they did our boy Finn dirty on this one.
They did it to my boy.
Yeah. My beautiful boy. But yeah, I was like, that is not a, like, definitely do not turn the lights on.
Yeah.
To see that animatronic. You will not like it. You're like, you idiot, these are not them. These are their stunt doubles.
Like, yes.
But I mean, they had, you know, they had a couple of like animatronic Kylo Rens.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really good. Even the dude, even the Domino Gleeson General Hux, they had a couple. One looked a little more realistic than the other.
Yeah.
The wigs were a little, he'd need a brush or something. A couple of them, they were, had seen better days, been used a few too many times, I think, as far as like,
not much upkeep.
Yeah. But I mean, it was a hell of a lot of fun. And no, we had it was a great time. Grayson, like, again, Grayson didn't care for it too much, which was fine. And because there were so many other rides. I mean, it wasn't like it ruined her trip or anything. It was just a rough go at the beginning. And then she went on tons of rides that she really enjoyed. York and I, later in the day, they had Haunted Mansion was closed because it's right next door to where the old, was it Splash Mountain, the Brer Rabbit ride that they've now changed and they're making Tiana's whatever plunge or something. So they're doing the construction on that ride, which is literally digging into the Haunted Mansion area.
Okay.
So they had the whole thing closed off, which sucked because it's literally the one place I wanted to go. And, you know, I tried to stop, grab a couple exterior shots over the fence. Not over the fence, like higher up on the hill where I could see over the fence. There we go. But they kept trying to get people, you know, to keep traffic moving and not stand still because there's kind of a small area.
Yeah.
So I got a couple, but not enough. I said, well, maybe they're just adding more grave sites for ghosts. Digging up old graves.
Yeah. Well,
they need a few more ghosts, I guess. But York and I went on the Indiana Jones ride that they have. Oh my gosh. That thing, you are up and down, left and right. They could have put Fast and Furious, and I would have been, and I would have thought that was what it was. They're like in like those old Jeep things.
Yeah.
But it does. It goes like, it shakes, and then you're like up and down. Like it's a roller coaster. Don't, you know, with a Jeep facade over it. Let's put it that way. Because you're making hard banks. You're going up and down. And the set on the inside is just amazing. There's pyrotechnics, there's strobes, there's overlays, and just amazing effects. It was hands down York's favorite ride. And I really enjoyed it too. It was like tied between that and Rise, I think, for me. Yeah. But it was just wild. Grayson rode it back in October when they went, and no more.
No more.
She's like, I think it wasn't the ride itself. It was just everything else going on around it, I think, scared her too much.
Yeah.
She was a trooper. So that was Saturday. Sunday, we did California Adventures. They were also, my favorite part was the fact that they were having the Food and Wine Festival as well. So Daddy was happy during that day.
Yeah.
Bought the pass and everything. I was ready to go. Had my little lanyard, you know. So California Adventures is, the way I worded it was California Adventures is if Epcot was cool. Because, you know, it's Epcot's for adults, but it's still not, like, exciting. You just go around, I mean, drinking and eating, which is basically what the Food and Wine Festival was.
Yeah.
However, there's a lot more cool things. Like, the Cars area was really cool. There's a cool Mater kind of scrambler, I guess, kind of ride. I guess is the best way to word it. And then the one thing I really like about all this is that no matter what you go on, the like during all the Star Wars stuff, they had the real actors. Like they had whenever they had Oscar Isaac's character.
Yeah.
Whenever they had him on, it was him. Whenever they had Finn on, it was John Boyega.
Okay.
Like if it was if they starred in the movie, they were on this. They starred in the ride. Like that's what I love. The author, they didn't try and just get some actor that looked, similar to it. No, they got the actual actors to play these characters for the ride, which I thought was amazing. Same thing in Indiana Jones. They got Jonathan Rhys Davis to play Sulla in the ride. Like it's his voice and him on the video. It's great. For Cars, they had Larry the Cable Guy voicing Mater, not some voice
sound
actor.
Alike.
Yeah. No, it's literally Larry the Cable Guy giving the instructions for the ride in English and then in Spanish as Mater.
Wow.
So I had to record it because it was Grayson or his favorite part when Mater's trying to give these instructions in Spanish. But that's Mater. It's very, still twangy. It was really funny. And then, the actual Cars ride Radiator Springs, which is, again, more or less a roller coaster, just with a car facade around it.
Yeah.
That was wild. That was definitely one of my favorite rides there because it ended up, two or three Radiator Springs, and then you wound up in a race, and then you're racing the car next to you. Like, literally, another group of people next to you in a race. And of course, the entire time I'm like trying to yell, hit the gas. After you hit the apex of the turn, I'm like, hit the gas. I'm like, why aren't we going fast?
Speed.
It's like, come on.
Ka-chow.
Wow. We are going slow. No, but it was beautiful because when we went, we were on this ride, which is that it starts out indoors, you wind up outdoors. But when we got on this ride, it was sunset. Beautiful sunset going through this ride. And I was just like, holy cow. I said, I was too busy just looking at, soaking in just everything around me it was hard for me to actually enjoy the ride because I was just how well the backdrop of Radiator Springs with this sunset was just like, oh, chef's kiss. And the ride was amazing. We went to Avengers Camp. Ruth, Grayson, and York, all three, went on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, which is aka the former Hotel of Terror. So the big 7-foot drops and all that stuff. Yeah, not me. Because I know me. Yeah. I'm not going. Grayson, I feel like I did not understand. I just did not understand what was going on. And she went on it. I went to I got a new coffee mug and looked at a couple other things and then saw that. And then I watched, they had Okoye and the rest of the rest of the Black Panther. I'm not going to say it right.
Dormammu.
Thank you. So those people, they had come out and they did a beautiful demonstration. Like, I mean, amazing. Like it was amazing to watch. And then they had kids go up and they could learn the moves and all that stuff.
Yeah. That was the video you sent me, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was awesome. And then I walked over to the Pym kitchen and bar. And then I had me at 9 o'clock in the morning, which Nashville time was 11. So simmer down, people. I'm on vacation. The hell
with right. Nothing applies.
Nope. I'm not driving. Our hotel was literally across the street from Disneyland. We walked over, so I didn't even drive. I didn't drive for 2 days. It was great. Yeah. So I had a espresso-based martini served in a beaker with like cookie crumbs on top and like I forgot what else, but loved it.
Good.
You knew. I mean, great for 9 a.m. Yeah. And then they got off the ride, and then I go, "Where's Ruth and your sister?" He goes, "Oh, Ruth hated, or Grayson hated it. Ruth's getting her churro cheer up."
So was I thinking?
like in tears. And I'm like, that's why I didn't go on it.
Yeah.
So it is not for the faint of heart. We'll put it that way. Okay. I watched a video before we left of a news anchor that they put on this, you know, when it first opened.
Mm-hmm.
And they filmed him on this ride and him screaming, like, very high-pitched scream. And I'm like, that would be me. That's why I'm not going on it. We're good.
Like, that's all I need. That's all I need to see.
I didn't even need this. I already knew ahead of time that that's what I would be like.
Yeah.
So, but no, we had a great time. They had other rides there that were great. The Ferris wheel, which Ruth refers to as Mickey's Wheel of Doom, because they have some, you call those carts, carriages? I don't know. The things that you sit on in the Ferris
wheel. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
We'll just call them a cart that you sit in. And they have some that are stationary that rock a little bit back and forth, and they have some that actually move. So when you go up, you move down, and then when you move again, you'll move the other way.
Hmm. Yep. Yeah. I don't think I'd like that.
Yep. Mickey's Wheel of Doom. So, again, they went on that. I went to the bathroom and I got another drink. I had four for the entire day. So, and then a Gatorade. Yep. And then Gatorade in between. But yeah, it was a great time. Both of those things. And then just to wrap things up, Monday we went to have lunch with a friend and past guest Laura House and her husband Brian Schwartz. They took us to the OG Bob's Big Boy, one of the original double decker. And yeah, it was surprisingly good. We were some of the youngest people there, but it was good though. Apparently, Brian said he was there like a week ago, and I forgot what TV actress he ran into that from like the 70s. He saw there, and I guess, and right across the street from it is the Gary Marshall Theater, and it was named after him after he passed because he actually lived in the area, and he would be seen in the neighborhood walking his dogs and, you know, just walking around and everything.
Yeah,
and would attend the theater quite a bit because, you know, it's local, and so they ended up naming the theater after I forgot what it used to be called. Brian told me, and I forgot. But we had a great time. You know, they send their best. And then, yeah, that was in Burbank. Apparently, we were really close to Warner Brothers Theater, but I never saw when we were there. And then afterwards, we went out to Santa Monica so Grace can go to the beach. You know, it's going to be very cold. I had to help find New York a anime store because I told him I would take him to one because knew there's one in Anaheim close by, but nothing opened till 11. Okay. Like 11 o'clock noon was like the earliest any of the stores opened out there, at least at the places we looked at around. And I knew we weren't going to be in Anaheim then, so I was like, well, let's see if we can find some closer to where in the areas we're going to be at. So I found two, so him and I went looking for those while they went to the beach and to the pier. We met him up at the pier and then met Zach, our other friends and past guests, Zach and Dustin from $2 Late Fee, and met them for dinner with Zach's son, Bodie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a great time of fellowship and just hanging out. They too, that's why Zach's like, hey, you know, basically the quiz game that I was on with them, I got my two DVDs, Gotcha with Anthony Edwards, and My Science Project on Blu-ray. So I got those and then the envelope with stickers. So thanking both of us for everything. So I've got those to get to you when I see you next. And then, yeah, great time. Had to come back Tuesday. And then, so before we left, Grayson was sick. Turns out she had strep, which is going around.
Yeah.
And so we got her medicine and everything. She was taking that. She was fine. When I say no sooner than we stepped on the airplane, York got sick. I mean, we no sooner got to our seats, he's like, I feel like I'm going to throw up. And then makes it to the bathroom, throws up in the bathroom, comes back, sits back down. We get him, you know, we let Stuart, you know, the flight attendants know. And then they got us, you know, a big bag for him to throw. And he threw up like four more times. York is not one of those kids that throws up.
Yeah.
And his mom's like, yeah, anytime he throws up, he's got strep. Like he doesn't throw up any other time. That's like his one symptom that he has. Because he didn't have a fever or anything like that. So as soon as we got home, he took a Dramamine. He finally was able to take a Dramamine that Ruth had. And that settled things down. He went straight to sleep. Slept for like an hour and a half. But we got home. dropped the ladies off, and I took York straight to the clinic, and yep, tested positive for strep. So yeah. I was like, damn, we bookend our trip with strep.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody was sick the entire time we were there, so we'll take, you know.
Right. Yeah. Held off long enough to,
yeah,
trip's over, we can do our thing.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and get the sickness going. Yeah. Let's get down with the sickness.
They're like, you know what? They're on a vacation, a trip. Let's just let them have their fun, then we'll attack.
And then we'll make them pay.
Yeah.
But no, he was fine after, like, legit, as soon as he took that Dramamine, he hasn't been sick since, and no other symptoms or anything. So he's taking his medicine and doing everything, but he's been fine since being back.
That's good.
Just wild. Yeah. And that was our, there you go, that's our trip to California. It sucked coming back, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean,
weather was beautiful, people were beautiful.
Yeah.
Sorry. But you know, always have to come back at some point.
That's true. Yeah. Well, my family did like a little day trip that Saturday the night.
Bueno.
Went to the Georgia Aquarium. We had a rental. I drove all the way there. And so we got to experience, you know, changing of the altitude. So the ears were popping and all that. It was funny because my niece was like, why are my ears closed? You know, my mom thought, yeah, she was going to like start crying or get upset, but she just like, why are my ears closed, grand? You know, and but we saw some good patches of fog.
Yeah.
A couple of accidents along the way that slowed things up a bit.
Yeah.
But the trip itself was good. And as we got closer to Atlanta, you know, traffic kind of picked up, but wasn't as bad as I was expecting.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
Yeah. But there was a lot of people. Parking was kind of a trouble to.
Yeah,
long story short, we went at a time when Trump was in town. We didn't know it prior to.
Oops.
And then, of course, it's spring break on top of that. So when we finally did park, we parked in a hotel parking garage. And when we did get to the aquarium, once we got inside, it was just so many people.
Yeah.
So, you know me, I'm like,
yeah,
I don't want to. I was like, I want to turn around. But
I'll wait for y'all in the car.
Yeah. Like, when I got scanned tickets and all that, I'm just like, man, there's so many people. What's going on? Is this just Atlanta? Is this normal Atlanta or something else going on? Of course, we didn't find out what was going on until we got back. But when we get in and my niece sees all the aquatic life, she starts to freak out and cry, scared. And so, because, you know, she's used to seeing it on TV and now it's real life. And so I was like, I know she's not going to get here and start to, like, no, I don't want to do it. So my sister picked her up and then I told her, like, all these animals, they're behind glass. They're not going to get you. And if they try, I'll make sure that they don't.
I'll pump them in the nose.
Yeah. But then she eventually calmed down and she was cool the rest of the time. But it was just so many people that it was difficult to enjoy all of the exhibits. But it was still fun. Now, you know, if we go back, we'll just do our research on what's going on before we go so we can pick the right time. Because, I mean, I wasn't expecting, like, no one, like a small crowd.
Right.
I wasn't expecting what we saw.
Exactly.
It was just, was madness. It was like going to, like when Alabama comes and plays Vanderbilt, the concourse, how that looks. Like, it was maybe just slightly less than that, but still packed. But, you know, Georgia Aquarium's great. You know, if you've never been, I do suggest going. Just like I say, just pick a good time to go. When there's nothing, not a lot of extra. Yeah. Make sure there's no major events going on. But, you know, we were going to get something to eat there. We made it to Atlantic Station. But when we got out of the car, things just didn't feel right. So we said, let's just get out of the city limits of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Then that became, let's get back to Tennessee. Then let's just get back to Smyrna.
Yeah.
And so we didn't eat till we got to Smyrna. But that was a good trip. It was a good drive.
Yeah.
When we got to Atlanta, she's like, you drove like you've been here before. I'm like, I assure you, I have not.
No.
I was nervous the whole time once we got there. Like, but yeah, but it was a good trip. I'd like to do it again. Like, if we don't go to that aquarium, maybe go back to Chattanooga.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a good trip for all of us. It was my mom, my sister, my daughter, my niece, and then my mom's friend, Ernest. We were all together. Don't get that often. So
exactly. Yeah.
And then the next week, my mom and sister were to take my niece to see a movie. So originally I was just going to get them tickets and they go. But the time that it started, it was like 10:45 a.m. And so I said, I'm going to go. So I got our tickets and we went that morning on Wednesday, saw Kung Fu Panda 4. And nice. So I wanted to go because I wanted to see how my niece would be, because I was always worried about if she's going to sit still or act up. But she sat through the whole thing. The only thing, you know, like how like sometimes Grayson's like, when's the movie over? Yep. Her thing was during the advertisement, like, when's the movie going to start?
Right.
So, but once the movie was on, it was good. Then the credits start rolling and the song started playing and she got up and danced. I'm like, see, that's how you do it. Do it at the end. Yep. So I was like, great. You know, that's survive. Awesome. Yeah.
Yo, all right.
So it's the first experience.
Yes. I don't know when we're going to find time. Going to go take, because Grayson really wants to go because it came out the week that we were at it.
Yeah.
You know, we were in California. So obviously no time. Although I'm not going to be one to say no to go to a movie at, you know, one of like the big historical ones.
Yeah.
Down there. That I'd still want to do that. It's just,
yeah.
If we would have had one more day, we probably could have done that. But here we are.
I will say for that, there might be some, I mean, it's not like scary, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a character that transforms. That first transformation might be a little much, maybe.
Gotcha. Okay.
But outside of that, not bad for it being the fourth Kung Fu Panda movie.
All right. Awesome. Yep. So we'll definitely have to cover that once we once I get around to getting her to out there. Awesome. So this week we have, as far as trailers, we have The Greatest Hits, a love story centering on the connection between music and memory and how they transport us, sometimes literally. Time travel? Time travel and music? I don't know. It's what it looks like. It's going to be coming to Hulu on April 12th. The runtime, 1 hour, 34 minutes, rated PG-13, starring Lucy Boynton, David Cornsweet, Justin Min, Retta, Andy Zhu. Next, we have Atlas, which is J-Lo's next. I don't want to say latest. We'll say next movie. Coming to Netflix on May 24th, a bleak sounding future where an AI soldier has determined that the only way to end war is to end humanity. So that's generally what AI does. That's the whole premise to Terminator.
Yes.
Yep. But, you know, the trailer looks pretty good. The effects look really well done. So we'll see. Starling Sterling K. Brown, Jennifer Lopez, Simu Liu, Alana Perella, Mark Strong. Yeah, again, coming out May 24th. And then lastly, this one doesn't have a release date because it was shown at South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
But they went ahead and dropped the trailer for a movie that hopefully will, you know, get a studio to pick it up, maybe A24 or somebody. This movie's called Dead Male. Runtime 1 hour 46 minutes. An ominous help note finds its way to a 1980s post office, connecting a dead letter investigator, didn't know that was a thing, to a kidnapped keyboard technician. Written and directed by Joe DuBois, starring Sterling Macer Jr., John Fleck, Tomas Boykin, and Susan Pribb. Looks interesting. I watched it. I'm like, okay, I watch this. I don't know. It's an interesting premise, at least. And like I said, not sure when it's going to get released.
Yeah.
It's trying to find that studio to do it. Yeah, and one thing I have heard, though, that came out of South by was The Fall Guy getting rave reviews. It's at like 90, it's either 100 or 96% of Rotten Tomato already.
Nice.
And everything I've read is just everybody just loving this movie, just loving it. So I'm like, all right, sweet. It's basically like a love letter to stunt, you know, to stunt actors. So
cool.
Which I thought was amazing. So I'm all for it. And yeah, that's about it. So real quick, I know, since we were gone, I followed the Academy Awards on Twitter because we were at California Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to be anywhere to watch it. York and I, there's no way we're going to get anywhere near the area.
Yeah.
So we just decided to stay at California Adventures all day, which is fine. So I just followed everything on Twitter, you know, and just trying to follow the you know, the updates and speeches and whatnot. Brian Gosling's I'm Just Ken performance was, you know, one of the best live performances I've seen at the Oscars in a very long time. Since probably Blame Canada with Robin Williams singing the song. Yeah. No, it was electrifying, literally, because Slash was there. But yeah, it was great. It was an amazing performance. I didn't add up yours or Cheryl Bonner's, but I was at 15 for 23, which is, I think, been my average or roughly thereabouts.
Yeah, so. I think I was one less than you, 14.
Okay.
Because, like, that weekend I had counted, but I was still tired from driving and the time change. And so, first, I'd had it at, like, 16 or 17, but I'm like, that doesn't seem right because I usually don't get that many accurate. Yeah. So I recounted. It was like 14 out of 23, which I think might have been slightly better.
Yeah. Well, and I hadn't watched near as many as I normally do, so the shorts really kind of did me in on that one. Yeah, the shorts kind of did me in. I literally should have picked the Last Repair Shop because that was legit the only one I'd watched.
Yeah.
And had I known that one animated one was a Beatles one, I would have totally picked that because it's the Beatles.
Yeah, once I learned that, I was like, oh yeah, I'll let you in.
Yeah.
And there was a couple that I had my gut feeling about, like the adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did I not get that? Because I literally read the book before watching the movie.
Yeah.
Or American Fiction.
Yeah.
I should have followed my gut, but
yeah,
you know, I'm thinking outside the box, like, hey, take a doll and make a movie. So,
yep.
But and there was one more with the best actress. You know, I said that'd be between Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone. So I'm like, either one wouldn't be a bad choice. But
right,
I figure since Killers of the Flower Moon didn't focus on her character like it should have, that's right. Held it back.
I think so too. Yeah, I still picked her, anyways. The one movie you and I both picked with our heart instead of our brain actually won Godzilla Minus One for visual effects.
That was just shoe in, like, for what the budget was and what they turned out. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You got to give it to them.
Yeah. So we're very proud of them and their little toy Godzillas they brought with them. I thought that was awesome.
Yes.
And then one of the ladies had like shoes, like her shoes were like Godzilla based shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, had scales on the back and everything. Like, it looked pretty dope. I was like, oh, okay. So, it was dope. I was like, all right, y'all. I feel you. Go on with your bad self.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything else kind of, you and I both kind of switched on costume design, production design for Barbie Poor Things when you're just both poor things.
Yeah.
That's whatever. I mean, it literally could have gone either way, to be honest.
True.
So, but all in all, not a bad Oscars. I think it went fairly well. I think, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's going to do good because he's good at those type of, you know, situations. So,
yeah,
I think it went really well. I'm not like mad about any of them. Just, you know, a couple of them I kind of wished, you know, would have gone a different way, but I'm not mad by it. So,
yeah,
I'll take it. Anyways, so that's kind of our quick Oscar wrap up. I think we're finally caught up. Maybe. All right, moving into our feature presentation real quick. We have got Dune Part 2, starring Timothée Chalamet as Paul Atreides and Daya as, it's pronounced Johnny. Chani or Johnny?
I heard him saying Shawnee or Chani.
I heard Shawnee, but it just seemed like in the first one, I think it's pronounced like Shawnee, but I think in the second one, I felt like they kept saying Johnny, even though, whatever, I don't even care.
I mean, if Javier Bardem was saying it, then it probably was Johnny.
Yeah, right? Probably, yeah. Rebecca Ferguson, Jessica, Javier Bardem, Stilger, Josh Brolin as Gurney Halleck, Austin Butler, Fade Rafa, Fade. Florence Pugh is Princess Irulan, Dave Batista as Beast Rabin, Christopher Walken as the Emperor. Leia Sido, it's Lady Margaret Finrig, still on skateboard. Guard. Baron Harkonnen. Charlotte Rampling as Redwing Mother Mohim, and so on and so on and so on. It's just going to keep
stacked cast.
But, yep, very stacked. This is the second part to, obviously, the first Dune that was not released in theaters due to COVID and all that. So they just released it on then what was referred to as HBO Max.
Yep.
And that's how we watched it from the comfort of our own homes. It is no secret that I found the first one just okay. Not really for me. Thought it was visually looked great. Effects were good. All that, you know, all the things are good as far as a movie per se. But it's just, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just a movie that's not for me. It's not my type of thing. But I know people, a ton of people that have enjoyed it. It's very well made. This one is going to be kind of like that as well, except I actually saw this one. I actually saw it in IMAX.
Yes.
I got to go big or go home type of thing is what I keep being told or something like that. That this movie was meant for IMAX, and then to get the full experience, I need to see it in IMAX.
Yeah.
So went on an IMAX with a bunch of other 20 somethings on their screen break. This one is rated PG-13 with a runtime 2 hours 46 minutes, which is, I believe, 10 minutes longer than part one. When I went, no previews. So got lucky on that end. Yeah. Which is also good because it started 10 minutes late anyways. Yeah, neither here nor there. So part two picks up where part one left off, obviously. I mean, literally, like, where it left off.
Yeah.
There is no, like, recap or anything like that, or, you know, kind of, like, little brief summary at the end to get people caught up. It's like, nope, you should have already seen the first one. That's on you.
Yeah.
You haven't.
Previously on Dune Part 1.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. That. No ominous voiceover to help kind of get you caught up. And so, anyways, Paul Atreides unites with Chani and the Fremen while seeking revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family. So, this is their Empire Strikes Back is what it is.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's a little bit darker. There's a lot. Well, someone, I forgot who it was, told me this is Dune's The Two Towers. If you're going to borrow a, I guess, sequel analogy to kind of give you an idea. And they're not wrong. I mean, Dune Part 2, much like Lord of the Rings to Two Towers, is you've already been introduced to the characters. You already know what the main plot is, what needs to be done. This is just the action. This is just going to be the action. Get ready, because we're in it now. So if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know what's going on, that's on you, not on us. And so it's literally just pure action. There, I mean, obviously there's still a story. I mean, don't get me wrong, but this one doesn't focus just on character development. Getting a story started, trying to figure out what the actual conflict is and how much, you know, what all different, you know, world building and stuff like that. This is, you should already know this.
This is the movie.
Here we go. Yeah. Here we go.
That's what kind of held me off on the first one, because it just felt like setup. It's nothing but setup, getting you the characters, get the background, get the motivation. So we got the prequel. So if Dune Part 2 had been just Dune, and then now we got a prequel, that was Part 1. You know, just get a prequel to everything. And now this is just everything that the first one should have been.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to put it in one nice, tightly knit movie, like the 80s version, this is, now we're expanding this. We're building on it. We want to explore the entirety of this world, of its people, of the people from the outer worlds as well, because not only do you learn more about the people and the land of Arrakis, you also learn about the world of the Harkonnens, of their world, because you learn how, like, Fade has his. Like, there's, like, a black sun that goes, you know, that it almost looks like an eclipse. A black sun So like everything's in like black and white on this world, and him like his rite of passage or whatever, killing these three people left from Atreides, and two of them been drugged up, one not at all. So he has more of an actual challenge.
Yeah.
And you know, the Baron's like, you know, this, you know, can, you know, this is your gift, you know, a challenge more or less.
Yeah. It all came easy.
Yeah, no. But dude, Austin Butler, bruh, no Elvis in here.
No, not at all.
Nope.
Not at all.
He brought it, man. He was high school villain. I dig it. I like what he brought to this. It's
definitely something different than what he's done before.
Yes.
He really dug in and yeah.
But yeah, it definitely, but I still feel like his character was underused in this film.
Like we didn't get enough from him.
Yeah.
Just enough, but not enough.
We saw that he was, you know, that he's brutal in like two scenes, but I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, explore, but maybe a few more fight scenes with him and that would be great. Maybe a little less worm riding. Like, I can't believe I'm saying, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but I almost wish it was a little bit longer just so they could explore his character a little bit more.
Yeah, get a little more background.
Yeah, but
they didn't, why is he not the right hand person? Why is Batista there and it's not
right, him? Right. What exactly? Why they just go to him in the first place? You know, if he was so Billy Badass.
Right. I guess, you know, older.
Whatever. Yeah.
They're going by seniority.
Maybe. Yeah. But yeah, no. So this one also focuses more on like Paul getting in with the Fremens and being more accepted by them, becoming part of their culture, a part of their people, them believing he's some sort of messiah to come set everybody free, and because he has these visions of the future, and him not really wanting to buy into it, and then yet everybody's following him, and he's just resistant to.
He's like Jon Snow, I don't want it.
I don't want it, but I have to do it, so I'm going to do it, but I still don't want it. Like,
I just want revenge. I don't want to rule. I just want revenge.
I'm like, dude, pick a lane.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to just accept the things that need to be accepted, go do the things that need to be done, take care of business, and then hand it over to somebody else when you're done.
True. Like, because Shani, her biggest concern is that he's just going to become a ruler like everyone else, but he's assuring her, like, no, I want to learn your ways.
That. Yeah.
I want to learn your ways, and I want to get revenge on those that destroy my family, basically.
Right.
You know, like, my father's dead. I need to get the guy that did it.
Like, legit, and I just need your help to make that happen.
Yeah.
That's also your.
Learn how to ride this worm.
Yeah. I feel like they had to have used that as a pickup line at some point.
Yeah.
Watch, I didn't just like you. I'm just trying to learn how to ride this worm. No.
Yeah, my worm rider.
Oh my gosh! But dude, so in the IMAX, of course, the screen's ginormous.
Yeah.
That's fine. It was the 70mm film, so it you know, it was great because I can still see like little dust particles, which were slightly distracting at times, but you know, cause they're on the film. So it's on the screen and I'm like, is that the screen or is that it's like, I know they're using actual film. So it's probably just dust that got on there, but
yeah,
I kind of actually enjoyed seeing that for a change. Cause you know, with digital, we don't get those type of, it's all crisp and you don't see anything cause it's digital. And like with this, it's film. So yeah, you still get little dust particles on there every now and then, which was slightly distracted, but also kind of charming at the same time, because kind of miss those days.
It's like listening to music digitally or on CDs, but then when you're on vinyl, you got that warmth, that sound. You know,
little crackle every now and then. Great.
Yeah.
That's so weird. And then the sound was, golly. I don't have a great word other than thunderous.
Okay.
Like when that music kicks in, and you hear some rumbling on the ground, like whenever they put the little, I want to call them like detonators, but it kind of reminded me of like an outdoor speaker. And then just to get the bass pumping, that's up and down and up and down, to summon the big some of the worms. And then, man, when that thing started kicking, it started kicking. Like, it was very immersive, I'll tell you that. I mean, you felt that you were involved. You were immersed. So if you choose to go see this, definitely go see it. If you have an IMAX close, I recommend sitting in an IMAX for sure. Yeah. Just because I always wanted to support seeing movies on film over digital. It's just a better experience.
Right.
Plus, the sound is just, oh my God, it is kick in. I'm here to tell you. And there was only, I think, one point where I go, okay, this is a bit too loud. And usually I'm like, this could be louder. Like, this could be, you know, for more effect, this could be, oh.
This was like.
But no, this was like, okay, the bass is fine. Everything else is just, the guitar is like, son, I'm afraid it's too darn loud.
Turn it down.
Freaking fitheads. But yeah, it was a fun experience. You know, so Jessica, Paul's mom, is having to also accept her new role as well, because she becomes a reverend mother of the Fremens, and she's having to accept that. And I guess you find out that she's pregnant. So, and the baby, his baby sister, so Paul's baby sister that's still in the womb apparently is talking to Jessica, which makes her seem kind of cray cray.
Speaking
of, your sister says, I'm like, I would be like, listen, you tell her she needs to mind her damn business until she comes out.
Finish cooking, then come out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember how it was in the original 80s, but I can't. Yeah. But it was pretty much the same thing there. But I think it was a little weirder probably with that.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, as of right now, I feel like Florence Pugh's character is a little underused. And I don't mean that I want to see more of her character. I'm just saying for her to be cast. Like, they could have gotten an unknown. Would have done okay,
but maybe they're planning to do more for a third one. That's
for a third one, because listen, if you don't think that there's not a part three, well, one, there is, because shoot, who did the score? I forgot already. Was it Hans Zimmer? It wasn't Hans Zimmer, was it? Or was it the Ludwig? Yeah. Having to look it up now. Anyways, so Hans Zimmer. So Hans Zimmer was already given the script for. Yeah, like, he was just finishing part two, and he was already given the script for part three.
And the director had already wanted to do three anyway. So it wasn't like, well, the first one, let's do a second one, and then now it's to a third. Right.
Well, the first one was popular. No.
That was always his plan to do three. And I was reading, he said if anything comes after that, he probably won't be involved with it. But
right.
He definitely wanted to be three movies from him, and then he can write off.
Right. Exactly. Move on to something else.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that's for a lot of directors, though, because, you know, after three, you're like, okay, what more can I do? Or, you know, I'd like to go do something else at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I want to other projects. I don't want to get just stuck doing just the one thing.
True. No, he might do some, you know, produce, you know, do some consulting.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
Not as hands-on.
Right. But, you know, like, even Christopher Nolan only did three Batman movies.
Yeah.
He could have done more, but he's like, nah, I need to move on to something else. I've got all these other ideas.
Can't get bogged down. My brain is too big.
Yeah. It's like, Batman getting rid of a bomb. Huh. Let's see, what else can I do with a bomb in it? Let me go expand on this idea for a second. It's a fascinating idea. What can I do?
Yeah. And then I was reading where the director said there's not going to be any deleted scenes because he felt like, you know, when the movie's done, it's done. And
yeah.
So you feel like what he got is it. So I guess there won't be anything included on the Blu-ray for deleted scenes.
Right.
It's unfortunate.
But, as long as there's bloopers. Yeah.
Yeah, but I enjoy this much better than the first one.
Yeah.
It was just not set up. You know, and then of course, like I said, when we talked about the previous one, I didn't do my research enough to know it was going to be a part two. I should have known better.
Yeah.
But so when it got to the end and Shawnee was like, well, this is only the beginning. And I literally sat there and was like, what the hell? That's a weird thing to say. And then the credits. Like, there's more. We've got at least another 30 minutes.
Yep.
But nope. Close up on Paul and then credits. Yep. So I'm like, Like, I learned a lesson there. I should have known better.
Yeah. Yep. But and they kind of more or less did the same thing with this one. Just kind of, I was like, yeah, but everybody knows it's part two of three. So you're like, it's not going to wrap up. It's just going to, like, okay. Well, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure if I like Paul Atreides, though.
It felt like a whole Matrix Neo thing. Like, he's the one, and Stilgar was Morpheus. Like, he's the one.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow him blindly, and everything's going to be fine. And
Stilgar's at least more humorous about it.
Yeah.
Like, there's quite a few times people were laughing at him.
True.
In the theater. So.
Yeah, he's just really kind of stuck, more or less just, this is what he learned growing up. He's believing it wholeheartedly. No one's going to sway him. Like, he knows what he knows and believes what he believes. And so.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't really like him. I'm like, I don't really like him. I don't know why. But I think there's a certain, arrogance about him that I don't like. And I don't know if that part of that is coming from just growing up a part of that of the Atreides family.
Yeah.
And just kind of having that arrogance. I mean, he at least educates himself about things instead of just having like arrogance, but not being aware, I guess, of the Fremen's. Like, he did his video research on that of Arrakis. And so he wasn't just showing up and then just kind of, I don't know, touristing around. He knew. Like, he'd done research, and he tried to learn the language.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to learn how to walk on the dunes, you know, without attracting the worms. Like, he watched the video files on it, basically their version of YouTube.
Yeah.
To learn something stupid. He just has a certain kind of arrogance, and I guess just also because he's young, too. I don't know. But, like, I feel for Chani's character.
Yeah.
Stilgar, obviously, I also feel for, but like all the other characters, Brolin's character I like too. I mean, he's just that noble soldier just trying to do what needs to be done. But like everybody else, I really don't like. I don't like Jessica. Like, I don't like Paul's mom. Like, I just don't. Like, I don't like her character, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, she seems kind of manipulative.
Oh, very.
More and more so than just, I'm your mother protecting you, but.
Yeah.
No, she's got an agenda.
Yeah. She's definitely 110%.
It shows.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked it out and you like the first one, obviously find time, go check it out. Let us know what you think. If you're just kind of like us and we're just kind of okay with the first one, check it out. Let us know if you still think that, or if you like us, just enjoyed this one a lot more than the first one. And just let us know what you think.
Yeah, I feel like if this had actually released last year like it was supposed to, it would have, to me, I feel like it would have shook up the nominations for Best Picture.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And like, sound. I'm trying to decide on what movies wouldn't be where they are or were if this had released last year.
Well, they sort of had 10 and just added this and then another one.
Yeah.
Because they only had 8. They have up to 10.
Okay.
So
okay.
They only had 8 this year for Best Picture. This would have won for Best Picture. Bro, this would have won for best sound. This probably, and honestly, that Godzilla minus one, I don't think would have won for best visual effects. I'm sorry, like, bruh.
Like, yeah, I mean, it would have been close.
Yeah,
I still would have held out for Godzilla, but like,
I still would have picked it. But
yeah, it definitely it made a difference by releasing later, and hopefully releasing here doesn't affect it later with depending on what we have. But I feel like it's gonna be tough for something else to come out. And we don't know everything.
I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine. It'll be out. This will be out for a while. It'll, by the time the Academy Awards come out again or come out for next year, this will already be on the, you know, out for rental, out for rental, out for purchase, out on stream. It'll probably be on Max for the next award season.
Oh yeah. Probably by summer. So
besides, by the way, Black Panther came out in April, and it still won. Everything Everywhere came out in March. I just remember going to see it in March. Yeah. And it won like four or six. Yeah. So anymore, I don't think timing really matters as long as you have a quality film.
Yeah.
So, and the hype behind it. So they'll.
True.
We this just will probably what, be.
What
yeah.
What else? Out next.
Right. I think it's going to be hard pressed to find anything with a better sound than this one did. The score was pretty good too. That helped move the movie along as well. But holy crap, the sound, the between the sound, the VFX was pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people try and get it nominated for Best Picture. Again, it's not for me, but that doesn't mean it wasn't good. It just means it's not my kind of sci-fi. So, yeah. And that's okay. So if you want to go ahead and talk about your one, and then I'll just hold off on mine.
All right. So next one we'll talk about is a movie that I knew nothing about until it got close to the weekend. So it's another one of those pop-up movies that doesn't get marketed well, but it's called Knox Goes Away, released March 15th of this year. Hour and 55 minutes, and it stars and is directed by Michael Keaton.
He plays
John Aristotle Knox. Also stars James Marsden, who plays his son Miles. You have Susie Nakamura, who plays Detective Emily Akari. Mm-hmm. Joanna Kulig as Annie. Ray McKinnon as Thomas Muncy. John Hogenacker as Detective Rail. Lila Lauren as Cheryl Knox. Marcia Gay Harden as John's ex-wife. Because I don't think she ever had a name in this movie. And Al Pacino as Xavier Crane. So this is about contract killer who has a rapidly evolving form of dementia. He is offered an opportunity to redeem himself by saving the life of his estranged adult son. This marks the second time that Michael Keaton's in the director chair. The first was The Merry Gentleman, which released in 2008.
It's actually a decent movie, too. I actually like that one. Yeah, I like that one.
Cool. So we're introduced to John and Muncy. They meet up at a diner to eat. John orders coffee. And then when the food comes, he orders again for the coffee. And Muncy's like, you already got your coffee. And so he just kind of brushes it off. And it's like, you know, I guess I really need it. But he lets Muncy know that he's going on a trip. We'll be back the next day.
Yeah.
But doesn't tell him where he's going, why he's going, just personal. So he leaves. So what he does is he ends up going to this trip, leads him to a doctor that runs some scans on him and finds out that he has a rare form of dementia that's rapidly, you know.
Yeah.
He has weeks instead of months, you know, where his brain just goes to mush. So
yeah.
But at that point, John decides, like, you know, it's time for him to let this life go. So he starts trying to get his affairs in order, but he has one more job, one more assignment. And so he does tell Muncy that this is going to be his last one for a while, but doesn't explain why.
Yeah.
So when they enter the house of their mark, and he starts to kind of black out while he's in the living room. But then when he comes to, he's kind of spaced out, but then he hears a shower running. Goes to the bathroom and he sees the person he's supposed to take out, starts shooting, but doesn't realize there's a woman in the shower with the man, so he ends up killing her inadvertently as well. And again, he blacks out. And then Muncy comes in through the door, doesn't really announce himself, so John reacts and pow, pow, two shots, shoots him, and Muncy, done. So wow. The only thing, he regrets it, and you know, he's probably having that thought like, dang, I should have told him what's going on with me. At least just let him know. And so he sets up the scene where it doesn't show that there's a fourth person, where it's just these three and it's, you know, they took each other out. So from there, he just starts getting his finances in order to, you know, like, I'm getting out. He has three people he needs to financially take care of. We don't learn that till later. But the detectives arrived on the scene and Detective Akari, she kind of, you know, gives a little backstory on how rough it was with her mom. She was tough on her, hard on her. And she didn't like it then, but she loves it because it made her a better detective, because she's able to see things that not many people see or pay attention to. So, you know, you have these three that have been killed. There's a shower. Somehow these three died, but the shower got cut off. So there's a fourth person that was there. So she's able to deduce that. And also, everybody got shot by the same gun.
Of course they did.
Yeah. And so even, you know, John Knox is like, yeah, because he goes to meet up with Xavier Crane, played by Pacino. And, you know, he tells him what happened. And, yeah, the situation is not good. But he set it up to just buy him some time to get everything together. And then, you know, at some point they're going to come after him because they're going to figure it out. It's a pretty sloppy job what he did. He knows it. So he's trying to work pretty quick to get things done. But then one night when he's at home, there's a knock at the door. He opens it. He doesn't recognize the person. It's a man with his hand wrapped and bloody. But it's his son, Miles. He doesn't recognize him till, you know, for a little bit, but brings him in. And so he basically, Miles tells John, you know, you've got a granddaughter, 16-year-old granddaughter. And what happened is she's been on social media talking to people, and she met up with someone at 32-year-old. And they actually met in person, and some things happened. Now she's pregnant.
Oh.
So he goes to pay the man a visit. And because of his behavior and his real nonchalant attitude about the whole thing, you know, just basically just no remorse, saying that, oh, she, you know, just real, real nasty talk.
Yeah.
And so that triggered Miles, and they got into a fight to the point where he grabbed the knife and stabbed Dude 17 times, killing him.
Hey, okay.
Yeah, he blacked out. I'm like, yeah, he deserved that. So John's like, so why'd you come to me? And he's like, well, because you're the only one I know that knows how to deal with this stuff. So who better? And so Miles, you know, did take the murder weapon. And so bottom line is John Knox is trying to set things up where things don't come back to his son while he still has his mind.
Gotcha.
And so the reason he contacts Xavier is to just help him stay on track so he doesn't, you know, mess up.
Yeah.
So he's written everything down and he showed the list to Xavier. And so it's like, you're my guy in the chair. Keep me on track so I know what I'm doing. And then also he meets up with, I guess we say, a Russian prostitute. Every Thursday for the last 4 years, he's met up with this person. And so they've got a kind of relationship. He gives her books to read and, you know, she tells, you know, they kind of talk about it.
Yeah.
But basically the rest of the movie is just him trying to keep his son safe and not lose his mind before he finishes that. But it's a pretty interesting movie that I'm surprised they didn't do a lot of marketing, because I just happened to be on the Regal app, saw the movie listed, and like, oh shoot, Michael Keaton, oh, he directed, I'm there. And I didn't see any previews until I just saw some ads on YouTube right after I saw it listed. So, but it's a pretty decent drama thriller that I just didn't see coming. So
okay,
that was worth checking out. Wasn't disappointed, and
awesome,
Keaton knocks it out.
I love Michael Keaton. He was great at the Oscars as Bruce Wayne with an ascot. He brought his own ascot for that bit. That's amazing.
He's the man.
That guy's there he is. That Batman's a real asshole. I love that bit. That whole bit was just great. Cool. Yeah. Let's see. This week, I thought it was coming out next week, but apparently not. Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh, damn. Already?
Yeah. Thursday. Wow. They're going to have, if you haven't seen it yet, Regal's doing a much like Dune, but less provocative popcorn bucket. They're going to have the ghost trap, but the opened up, and then there's popcorn coming out of it. So that's like, there's a bucket that fits in it, but you know,
is that gonna be like Regal or AMC?
I believe it's Regal because I saw it.
Because AMC's got the special bucket. It's like they knew what they were doing.
Yep. Yeah.
So I was thinking about that. It's just the bucket itself, and they get a large popcorn separate. So in case they don't want to eat out of the bucket, they don't have to.
It's imagined. But yeah, Regal here. But yeah, so that comes out this week. So that'll be fun. Curious if Grayson's going to want to go see it. I know York will. I will. You know, they're bringing back the whole gang.
Yep.
And everything. So, I mean, all the gang that's still currently above ground. They bring the ghost of Harold Ramis, then, you know, then it's great. I love it. Definitely adding some authenticity to the movie. Yeah, it looks great. It looks like it'll be fun. And Then we also have the latest in nun horror movies, Immaculate with Sydney Sweeney, which looks like every other nun horror movie, but you know, whatever. I'm sure there'll be hopefully a fresh take on it. So that also comes out this week. And that's it.
Should have a great plot.
Right. Exactly. God help us.
Yeah.
Or her in this case.
Yeah.
All right. That's what we got. Thank y'all for listening. We will talk to y'all next week.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed our show and have a moment, please rate and review. It helps us out a lot.
Also, recommend us to someone that enjoys movies or also has kids.
You can find us on Twitter at PA Movie Podcast and on Instagram at parental_advisory_movie_pod. Be sure to join our Facebook group, Parental Advisory Movie Podcast, and join in on the fun.